All right, let's pray, and we'll get going. I don't know. Everybody struggled with it. I'd like to say it was you, Tucker, but it wasn't. So, not alert enough. How's things going with the baby? Good. Right on. Okay. There you go. I understand. Okay, let's pray and we'll get going. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Passpoint class and just a good event last night and being able to hang out and just love one another and just do life together. Lord, I pray you just bless your word this morning. I know there's a lot of people that are out traveling this weekend. It's a holiday weekend, and I pray you just keep them safe and just allow them to get refreshed. It is a three-day weekend, and so I pray that we are just taking some time to just get the rest that we need. Lord, we're going hard here at HBF with a lot of different things, and you know we've got a big season coming up with CSA and the World Cup outreach and all these different things happening. And so I do pray that we just get a little bit of rest and we'd stay focused on you and making sure you're getting all the glory for all of it, Lord. So I pray you just speak to us today as we get back into this just section on what ministry looks like. And so I pray that you just speak to us, get the glory for all of it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I really feel like I've forgotten something. That's kind of all the time, but anyway, something. So, we're in Acts chapter 14. The goal is to get done. I don't know if we will or we won't. And the bad thing is, if we don't get done, it's going to be several weeks before we get back here. And so, we'll just see how it goes. God's got a plan in all of it. So, we started this last week. I realized after I got done, I never gave you the title. And so, I titled it just Ministry 101. Basically just what does ministry look like? Ministry 101. And I'm going to do just a real quick review. We've been in Acts chapter 14. The last couple chapters, Paul and Barnabas have been on their first missionary trip, and they've been serving and doing all these different things for the Lord, basically getting the gospel where it needs to go to all these different places and, getting run out of town and all these different things are happening. And we had just finished this section on they came into the city and basically Paul had healed a guy that through the word of God. It wasn't anything that he did. God healed the man. Paul was just the messenger of the words so anyway, the guy is healed and they want to start worshiping him. And Paul's like, no, that's not how this works. We worship God. And that's kind of how we left it. And then immediately after that, it picks up in verse 19 and it says, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul," well, you don't just stone people for fun. You stone them to kill them, right? And so they're after killing him, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And it's like, this is like the culmination of what has been happening in all these different cities, getting run out of town. And, I think he outlasted his welcome just a little bit too much here. And this is kind of how this whole thing has been going. And so we were just talking about ministry in general, because that's kind of what is happening. And I'm going to do some really quick review, because ministry means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And you'll have to go back and listen to last week. But I don't think it means the same thing to everybody. Some people think, "Oh, I'm working in the ministry. That means I'm taking care of kids, or I'm doing, something at the church one time every few weeks, and that's ministry." And I mean, that might be part of ministry, but that is not ministry. A secular view of ministry is simply a specific division of an organization. The world says, "Oh yeah, you're in the ministry of that church," or there's different governments that have like the Ministry of Defense or this side or the other. And but even some, I would say, religious people, They get ministry wrong. They try to label their work with religious undertones as ministry. They have this work that has some sort of maybe a Bible verse attached to it, and they call that ministry. And so anyway, I told you this is the best way that I would explain it. If somebody was just be like, "What is ministry to you?" And I actually put a little bit of thought into this. I didn't just come right off the hip with it. But ministry is any work that you do for the Lord in the context of the church that you expect no earthly compensation for. I'll say it again for Abby. It's any work that you do for the Lord in the context of the church that you expect no earthly compensation for. She's writing frantically fast. Any work you do for the Lord in the context of the church that you expect no earthly compensation for. It's online, Abby. I'm kidding. The point is, it's for the Lord. Any work that you're doing for Him, it's something that supports the local New Testament church. Ministry is based out of the church, right? And you're not for hire. You're not doing this for any compensation other than what's coming. So what's the point of all this, right? And so today, as we wrap up his first trip, you know, a trip where he's been actively doing all ministry. That's all that Paul has been doing. Ministering to people, sharing the word, loving on people, all of these different things. There were three things, and actually it turned into four. And so this is where we got started last week. Four ministry principles for today's ministry. Because we see these things in Paul's life, but these are ministry principles for even today's ministry. And I'm going to very quickly go through the first one because I spent all week last week in the first one. And I think, I don't know, I kind of left it. It was kind of like a, well, if that's all you're going to tell me, I don't really want to do ministry. But the first one is ministry is hard. Ministry is hard. You know, Paul hadn't done anything wrong. You know, he was only sharing the gospel. He was only doing what he was supposed to be doing, and he gets stoned. And we talked last week about all the different methods of stoning someone. You know, in the Old Testament, you have to go back and listen to all that. But they drag him out of the city. They leave him for dead. And what's he do? He just gets back up and he doesn't quit. At this point, this is where a lot of people would be like, okay, they don't really want me doing this. Maybe I should reconsider my occupation, right? At some point, okay, this isn't working well. And so, I don't think any of us are ever going to have to deal with something like this physically, right? And so I don't want you to think, well, if I join the ministry, they're going to kill me. Not completely, anyway. But the point is the same. Ministry's hard. You know, ministry's going to bring trial and tribulation to your life at times, right? In the church today, a lot of times the stones, they don't come in the form of rocks. They come in the form of words, right? The things that people want to say when you're not around, right? They want to throw rocks when you're not looking. And you know, here's something to think about if you ever start to think about throwing those stones. In the Old Testament, when somebody was to be stoned to death, there had to be a couple things. There had to be multiple witnesses against them. And the witnesses that were testifying against them had to throw the first stones, right? And why is that? Because if they ever found out that, well, what they were saying was wrong, they were now liable of death, right? They were now carried the death sentence. And so that's why when Jesus said, you know, to the lady, the people, when they brought the lady in adultery, it's like, I guess if you don't have sin, you can throw the first stone. Meaning, I mean, if you're not guilty, then that's fine. But if you are guilty, then what's that mean for you? You're going to die as well, and nobody threw the stone, right? The point is, in today's context, we like to throw stones, right? But we're not any better. It doesn't really matter. We're not any better. And so the point is, you better make sure you're sure. I'm trying to read this. I can't read my writing. Before you start throwing stones, right? And so ministry's hard. Trials are going to come. Tribulation's going to happen. 2 Timothy 2 talks about all that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. The question really comes down to what are you going to do with it, right? It's going to happen in the ministry. You know, other times it's in the form of life circumstances. You know, a family member dies, a spiritual leader falls, marriage is, you know, rough, your family's, you know, not going well, your kids are doing, you know, whatever they want to do, all these different things. You have health problems. Let me just tell you, these things are going to happen. The devil's not okay with you making disciples. The devil's not okay with you sharing the gospel with the lost world. The devil doesn't want you to, you know, he doesn't just want you to fail. He wants you to suffer while you fail. He wants you to really go through it. And, you know, he's ready to attack. So the question becomes, are we ready? Right? What are you going to do about it? Ministry's hard. And, you know, I brought up last week, you know, what Trotter said when he was still here, the late Mark Trotter. You know, God has either appointed it or allowed it in your life. He's either appointed it or allowed it. And you know, you have to decide what that is. Is it some sort of a sin in your life that you're being chastised for? That would probably be appointed. You know, but if he's allowing it, yeah, the devil, he gets some rule and reign in this world. He really does. And God allows that for a certain amount of time. The good news is we know the end of the story, right? And so, anyway, I'm trying to fast forward through some of this.
It's worth it. Ministry is worth it. If ministry is so hard, why did Paul not quit? Why do so many people not quit?
Because they think it's worth it. You know, you do things because you think the sacrifice is worth it. You go to the gym because you think that what you're going to get out of it is worth it. You go on a diet because you think whatever you're going to get out of it is worth it. That's why you do it. And so, you know, I know it's hard. And I know that at times I even don't like some of the particular aspects of ministry, right? I just don't. But I do it anyway because I know it's worth it. People getting saved, that's worth it to me. People getting discipled, that's worth it to me. Seeing people live in Christ is worth it to me. Seeing people to not decide, you know what, just the goodwill of God, that's not good enough. I want to live in the perfect will of God. That's worth it to me. That's why we do ministry, right? Ministry's hard. The question is it worth it to you? Right? Tony, this is how I ended last week. Tony Godfrey at the Vision Conference, he said, thank you so much for that. He said, everyone thinks they're willing to pay the cost until they find out what it actually costs. That's what Tony Godfrey said at the Vision Conference. And I'm like, man, there's so much truth to that. Everyone thinks that ministry is worth it until they find out how much it's actually going to cost to be worth it. And so anyway, that was the first one. Ministry is hard. We spent a lot more time. You have to go back and listen to last week. That was a quick review. Here's the next thing, though, because yes, ministry is hard. But this is where it really gets good, because this is what ministry is. If you were to ask me, what is ministry practically? This is what I would tell you. Ministry is relationships. Like that's your second thing. Your second ministry principle is just this. Ministry is relationships. It goes on in verse 21 and 22. So he gets stoned to death. He like resurrects himself back to life. They didn't want to hear about ministry being hard. So, you know, they only came in for this part. I get it. Anyway, he gets stoned. He like comes back to life. Verse 20, howbeit the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city and departed the next day. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And in verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel, you know, the thing that just got him almost killed, he's, you know, I'm just going to do it again, I guess. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again unto Lystra, into Iconium, into Antioch. Now, if you were paying attention the last several weeks, these are the places they had already been. He had already like went and established a house church at these places and got run out of town. Every one of these places, he got run out of town. And so he's going back to the same places. Confirming, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. The second ministry principle, and this is, if you don't get any of them other than this one, I mean, I think you'll figure out ministry's hard on your own. You just... That one kind of comes as it goes. Tucker just kind of gave me the side eye. It's just hard. Ministry is relationships, right? I understand that ministry is work, and work itself cannot have relationships. But let me tell you this. The work of the ministry is built on, around, and through relationships. The work of the ministry is built not only on, not only around, but through relationships. You know, Alan Shelby is famous for saying a lot of things, but, you know... I say famous. He's known for saying a lot of things. Ministry rides on the rails of relationships. I remember hearing that when I was in HBI years ago, right? And it's just that ministry rides on the rails of relationships. So Paul, he's now going back through all the towns that he was run out of. Why? Why is he doing that? Because he thinks rocks taste good, right? I don't know. They just stoned him to death. Like, why is he going back? Like, oh, that felt great. Let me do that again. Like, this hurts. No, it's not because he likes the taste of rocks. It's because every one of those places has real people. Yeah. Every one of those places has real relationships. Like ministry, if there's anything that I've learned in 18 years of ministry, it's all about the people. And I'm not talking about the people you're ministering to. It is those two. It's the people you minister with. Like, that's why you come back. That's why I come back. Ministry is relationships. It says in verse 22, it says that he's confirming the souls of the disciples. So those who he had shared the gospel with, got saved, and had ministered to for however long before he got run out of. So he's confirming the souls of the disciples. And then it says what? He's exhorting them to continue in the faith. Well, why does he have to do these things? Because he understands the first point, that ministry is hard. He knows that what these people have been dealing with since he left, since they ran him out of town, is what? They've been persecuting the church, saying, you don't need to keep doing with this guy. We got rid of him. Now we're going to get rid of what the Bible calls that way, right? The Christian way. And so he knows they've been going through it. They've been going through tribulation, right? But why? He says that you have to go through much tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God. That's what it says. Not just a little bit. Not just a little bit uncomfortable. He says you will go through much tribulation to enter the kingdom of God. Paul knows the ministry is hard, so he comes back because why? Because ministry is all about relationships. These people to him, they're not just Christian converts. You know, think about people that you've shared the gospel with that maybe have actually gotten saved. They're not just people. Oh, they're not just converts, right? That's not who they are to Paul. You know, they're not just people at a church. If you've ever gotten to go and spend time at other churches and you build relationships with people, and they're no longer just people at another church. I remember what I forgot to bring up earlier. So now I guess I'll just say it on the recording. What? Abby? What? You have an idea? You don't? No, you're wrong. Yeah. Jake Allen. You remember Jake Allen from the Vision Conference? Yeah, he's going to Clarksville, Tennessee. He texted me last night, and he asked if we would pray, because he's going to be preaching in the next hour. He gets ordained today, praise the Lord, because, you know, you got to be ordained before you're sent. And they're letting him preach, and he said he's invited so many people, so many lost people, and he's like, will you just pray that I can actually not trip over my words? And so anyway, I wanted to pray for that earlier, and so just be praying for Jake Allen today. And so anyway, I sent him a big long message and all that stuff. Huh? Anyway, yeah, so I don't know. Anyway, I understand what that's like. There's a lot of responsibility to preach the Word of God to a lot of people. So anyway, that's what I was going to say. We need to be praying for Jake Allen all the time, but especially today. He gets ordained, that's cool, but he's preaching in Ohio today, and so that's cool. So anyway, I told you there was something. I just couldn't think of it. Anyway, Paul knows ministry's hard. These people, they're not just Christian converts. They're not just people at a church. They're souls that he's invested in. And those relationships, let me just tell you, those relationships endure. Ministry isn't just about getting the work done. And then that's something that, I don't know that in Past Point per se, but just in general, in the church, maybe even at Heartland, we need to make sure we really grasp that. Ministry is not about getting the work done. Because you know why? We could not show up and God will still do it. He'll find somebody to do it. I promise he will. We can decide, you know what, soccer's not really that cool, and we're not going to do it. Somebody will get the word to those kids and to those families. They just will. Like, ministry isn't just about getting the work done. It's about the people you get the work done with. Like, I think so many people miss that. It's not just about getting the work done. It's about the people you get the work done with. Ministry isn't about filling spots. It's about filling souls. Like, It's not about just, well, we need people here, and if we just have people here, and let me just tell you, it's so much more than that. God forbid we have ministries full of people without real tangible relationships. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm just saying, like, I'm not talking about, like, yeah, we serve together on the same day, that kind of relationship. I'm talking about, like, I just got stoned to death, and before I head home to heal, I need to make sure I come by and see you to make sure that you're doing well. Like, that's the kind of relationship I'm talking about. Like, he was just almost dead. Some would even say that Paul was dead, and God healed him back to, like, we can have that debate a different time, right? Because I could tell you both. Anyway, none of that matters. Like, that's the kind of relationship I'm talking about. Like, before I head back to make sure, you know, I'm going to make sure that you're good. Like, that's the kind of relationship I'm talking about. We have to first have depth in our relationship in ministry before God's ever going to give us depth in numbers. And I think we miss that. If we, as a church, no specific ministry in mind, if we as a church don't have depth in the relationships and ministry that we already have, God won't give us depth in numbers. He just won't. Why? Because as a ministry leader, you are a steward of what you have already. And if we're not faithful with least, he's not going to give us much. He just won't. Because why? Because God knows that ministry's hard. And God knows if I just give you a bunch of numbers, what's going to happen is you're going to kill these people. They don't know any better. And if you're not going to invest in them the way they need invested in, like, they don't know any better, and they'll run themselves right into a wall, and next thing you know, their marriage is going to be a wreck, their family's going to be a wreck. Why? Because we're not prepared and equipped to minister to them. If we don't have depth in the relationships in our ministry, God's never going to give us depth in numbers. He just won't. And I, when I say things like this, I am thinking more high-level ministry leader-esque like people. But the same thing in your family. The same thing with, like, if you don't have depth in your ministry at home, why would you think that you're going to have depth anywhere else? You have to start with what you have. You have to. And so anyway, like, and as I say that, as the family pastor, I fully believe it, and it convicts me in my own life, because there's a lot of things that I'm supposed to be investing in. Like, there's conviction. And let me just tell you, if that's the case, and if we aren't doing what Paul did in verse 22 with the ministry relationships we have now, then why would we expect him to give us more? Seriously. Like, there's ministries around here, a lot of them, that are just like, man, if I just had the people. I'm just telling you, the people isn't the issue. The same goes for discipleship relationships. The same goes for ministry relationships. There has to be depth spiritually before we're ever going to have depth in this big revival, right? Ministry is relationships. We have to understand that. Like, we really do have to understand that, because if we think that ministry is the work, you're wrong and you've missed it. You just have. You're headed the wrong direction. Ministry isn't about kicking a soccer ball. Ministry is about getting the gospel to these little kids, and more importantly, or as importantly, getting the gospel to these parents. Letting them know that, hey, you know what? I don't know what you're going through, but there's a church here that actually does care. You know? And it's because there's a God that does care. And we miss it sometimes. You know, they say you can't see the forest for the trees because you're so involved in it. Like, you're so in it that you don't even know what's going on around you. I'm just telling you, sometimes you got to step back and realize, God's given me everything I need right here. And, you know, how many times in the Old Testament, we keep reading through these Old Testament stories of, you know, God's like, no, that's way too many people. That's way too many people. Just do it with less. Just do it with less. Why? Because I can do it with as little as I need to. And instead, we're like, but if we just had this, and if we just had this, and, you know, if we had this many classes, and, you know, I'm talking about like ABF classes, and, you know, because we're talking about like, how are we going to divide up, you know, the youngers from the, I'm like, who cares, right? Just invest in the relationships you've got. God will do the rest. I promise He will. The next, if you're so consumed with investing in the relationships you have, the next thing you know, there's going to be people knocking on the door because they're like, I need that investment in me. Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you, while I'm investing in you, do you mind doing this as well? Oh, no, I'll do anything if there's going to be investment, right? I'm just saying, like, there's so much to it. The next ministry principle. Ministry is structured. Verse 23. It says, and when they had ordained them elders, so they went back to all these different towns, and this is what they did. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed. So they go back to these towns, and this is what they're doing. Paul had a purpose for everything that he did or didn't do. You know somebody like that? Like, some people you just know, like they fly by the seat of their pants. Like, everything they do, it's like it's a reaction. Everything, it's just like cause and effect. Well, this happened, now I have to do this. There's other people that, like, every single thing that they do in life is thought out. Every single thing that they don't do in life is thought out. Like, every single thing that happens in their life has already been processed, thought through, the what ifs and you know, of if it did happen this way, and then they've already thought through what they're going to do with that. Like, you know people like that. I know somebody similar to who knows Sam knows that's like that, right? And then there's other people that aren't like that, and that's okay. I'm just telling you that Paul, he had a purpose for everything that he did. If you just look at the way that he conducted himself, going from town to town, everything he did was thought out. Everything that he did was prayed over. Everything that he did was fully submitted to the Lord before he ever even did it. Like, I can't say that about my life. Right? If I did, I think my golf score would be better. Right? But, I'm just kidding. But, like, it's just not like that. Like, everything that he didn't just stop back by these towns because, you know, they were on the way. By the way, like, if you look in the maps in the back of your Bible, like, he had to go over here, and then he had to go over there, and, like, he's just thinking, man, my head hurts. I just got hit in the head with a rock, you know, and I just want to go home. And he's, like, going out of his way to go back through all these places, and why did he do that? Because relationships, yes, we just talked about that, yeah. But because Paul's always thinking ahead. He's always thinking about the down the road. Again, just like Brian Hedges. He's always thinking about 10 steps down when I'm just trying to catch up with why we're doing what we're doing right now. And because Paul knows ministry is structured, right? What did he do in these places? Well, it tells us in verse 23. It says he ordained elders. What does that mean? Elders are pastors, by the way. They're not deacons. Just understand that when you read the word elder in the Bible, it's synonymous. Bishop, elder, pastor, those things are all. But deacons are not elders. Some churches get this wrong. You know, they think, well, the church elders, they make the decisions, and that's not really how that's supposed to work either. But anyway, elders are pastors. Okay, so they ordained elders. He's finding a leader, and then maybe even sub-leaders, kind of like we have at HBF, I don't know, in these churches. Why? Because if there's not a clear leader, there's going to be chaos. Okay, just understand that. Okay, so the ordained elders, what else did they do? They prayed with fasting, right? They actually had some skin in the game on what was church going to look like moving forward, because ministry's hard, all these different things. And then what did they do? And this is the thing that we miss. He says they commended them unto the Lord. You're not my church anymore. You're this guy's church. I mean, obviously you're God's church, but you're no longer like this church that Paul established. No, you are now, this is the pastor's church. He commended them unto the Lord, meaning, obviously, God's leading this thing, but you're going to follow this guy as he follows God now. You're not going to follow me. You're not waiting for me to make my next trip through town. Like, we are establishing something because why? Because Paul can't be everywhere. The same way that the leaders around here can't be everywhere. There has to be people who take things and run with them, and you have to be okay with people even failing to learn how ministry works. Ministry is structured in the sense that God is the lead, and after that, we all serve Him. I think sometimes we're like, well, I'm the ministry leader. No, God's the ministry leader. We all just serve Him. We all serve Him in different ways, in different capacities. Like, yes, I'm the family pastor. But I just help out in different areas, okay? And it's just structured differently. You know, I just serve whatever God wants me to do. Paul knew he couldn't pastor or lead all of these churches. But God can, through different leaders. And that's why he made it a point to go back through and establish leaders and commend them unto the Lord, saying, you know what? Okay, God, you got this. We've prayed about it. We put it in your hands. This is the people you've chosen. This is your church now. And you move on. Right? That's what good church planners do. They go and they establish something, then they move on and they do it somewhere else and they leave it to the Lord. One of the biggest hindrances to growth in the church today is leaders not wanting to get out of the way and let others lead for them or with them and eventually for them. And I would even say, I'm not just talking about the church, I'm talking about this church at times. One of the biggest hindrances to growth in the church today is leaders not willing to get out of the way and let others lead with them and eventually for them. We think, well, if they take my job, then what am I going to do? I don't know. Ask God. Right? I don't know. What's the point of discipling up Timothy's in the ministry if we don't eventually let him lead? Just answer that. What is the point of discipleship? What is the point of, you know, 2 Timothy 2:2 and commit the same things that we commit to faithful men, that you'll be able to teach others also? Something like that, right? I don't know. I'm tripping over my words because this stuff is like, sometimes you can just teach and it's like, this is what the Word of God says. I can even be a little bit passionate about it. Like, this kind of stuff right here keeps me up at night. I'm not kidding. This is the kind of stuff that that I lose sleep over. It's really not building houses like people think. Like, whatever. Why are we training people up if we're not going to let them lead? If we're not going to get out of the way? Let me ask you this. Because I personally, I've been thinking a lot about this recently. And there's just a lot of transitions in Paige and I's life. We're getting ready to not have kids at home in the next few years. Praise the Lord. You know, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, Hallie's got one more year. Okay, here, I'll say this. Our youngest kid has 1 year left of high school. And there's a good chance she's probably going to go to college after that. Okay, so like we're about to be, in the sense, freed up. Like, what is God going to do with us? And we are completely bought in. Like, God told us to stay, and we plan on staying. Like, that's what we want to do. It's the only thing I want to do is be here. But anyway, these kind of things have been rolling around in my head. Like, okay, what does this look like? Like, let me ask you this question. Who could take the ministry you're leading? And some of you aren't leading ministry, and that's okay. Just think about the ministry you're involved in, okay? Who could take the ministry that you're leading and lead it moving forward without you? Like, just think about that and the different things you're involved in. And here's the thing. Here's why I've been thinking about this. Because if the answer that comes into your head is not a name, if the answer is, well, yeah, but, or this, that, what, but, and it's always, if the answer to that question is not a name, then I'll tell you it's not a people problem, it's a leadership training problem. I don't know, have any other way to put it. And that's offensive to some people. But I'm just telling you, like, if immediately you don't have somebody that's just like, if this happens, then this is who's going to lead it. That's on the leader. That's not on the people that haven't submitted to you yet. You haven't invested in them the way that God has told us to do. I don't know any other way to put it. If the answer is not a name, then it's not a people problem. It's a leadership/training problem. For whatever reason, we're concerned about somebody taking our spot, and the only thing that I desire in life is somebody to take my spot. You know, I just want to go and be used, whatever that means. And so what does that look like? You know, how will we ever send out churches if we have leaders who aren't willing to let others lead? Like, these are the questions that roll around in my brain. How are we going to do what the first missionaries ever did in the Bible if we aren't even going to let the leaders that we have lead? Well, they're not leaders yet. You're right. They're not. Because you won't get out of the way and let them lead. We just won't. And I also understand, like, there has to be training that goes in. You don't just put a novice, the Bible talks about, you know, we don't just put novices in places. But what I'm saying is, this is God's church. This is God's ministry. And we really need to get away from the my ministry mindset and get on board with being a part of God's ministry. And if that means getting out of the way, then by all means, I will step aside. Whatever that means, right? And so, ministry is structured. To have good structure, you have good leaders who lead by example. And here's where I'll end it. Like, they lead by example, starting with showing people how to submit. Another thing that people really don't like to talk about. No, I'll give you the last point because I really don't have any. I knew I was going to go long, and so. But no, good leaders lead by example, starting with showing them how to submit. Mark 10:31 talks about, you know, the first should be last. You know, it says that in actually all four Gospels. But why would somebody want to follow us in ministry if we aren't fully submitted to our direct authority now? Why would somebody want to come in and join whatever ministry it is that you're leading or you're serving in if you're not fully submitted to the direct authority that you have? Why would anybody want to come and join the Passpoint class if everything that I did was like, yeah, I know Brian preaches that, but we don't really buy into that, right? And we kind of do it this way over here. No, that should be a direct red flag to you to be like, this guy's an idiot. We're following the direct authority, which is Brian, who follows the direct authority, which is God. You know, and so the point is, like, why would you want to ever submit to somebody in ministry if the person that, you're submitting to or supposed to be submitting to isn't doing the same already? If they're like, yeah, I get it, but I actually, I like their leader better. I'll follow their leader. Or a lot of times what people say, well, I don't like that leader, so I follow what God tells me to do. Okay, well, I'm just telling you, God works through the local New Testament church and the structure that he's provided. And he always will. So if you're not directly submitting to what God has put in place, then why would people want to follow? Why would people ever want to come to Pass Point? Why would people ever want to be involved in that if I was trying to do my own thing? If we were trying to do our own thing over here? They wouldn't. Why would anybody want to come and serve in the family ministry if I was like, yeah, I know that Brian kind of said that this is what he kind of direct, because I submit directly to Brian when it comes to like the family ministry. So why would people ever want to come help in the family ministry if I wasn't doing what Brian has given me to do? They wouldn't, right? That's the whole point. I don't know what. The last point. Ministry's hard. Ministry's relationships. Ministry's structured. Ministry never stops. Basically, verse 24 to 28, I'll read it, and I don't really have anything because I knew I was going to be late. And here's just the point. This is how they end their trip. They go to all these cities. They go to all these towns. They confirm. They establish leadership. And then it says, and then when they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Pergia, they went down to Italia and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And then they get to the end of it. And when they were come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how that he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. They finally made it back home to Antioch. And what'd they do? They took a break, right? It says they told everybody about everything that they had done, that God had opened the door to the Gentiles. The Jews didn't want to receive it, but you know who did? The Gentiles. And we established leaders in all these places. And this is what had happened. And they go. And then you know what you'll find out? They spent some time at home, and then they decide to go again, right? Because that's what happens. When you're called, you go. And it's just in you. Ministry may move, but it never stops. You know, that's just the point. Even on his way, he's like, you know what? We missed this town. Let me stop by here and preach the word real quick before we make it back home. Like, ministry never stops. You might be like, you know what? I'm finally clocked out for the day. And then you're stopping, you're getting gas. You know what? For whatever reason, God says, I need to witness to this person. Ministry never stops. You're always getting the word where it needs to go on time. Like, just understand that. That's ministry practical, right? That's ministry 101. It's hard. It's all about the relationships, right? It's very structured in the local church, as it should be. And it never stops. That's ministry. And people are like, well, why would I want to do that? Why wouldn't you? That's the only thing that gives me satisfaction in life, right? It's serving the Lord. And that really needs to be our heart. Like, and it starts at home. It starts in your own family because it has to be done there. And then it transfers into ministry at the church, submitting to someone else. And then it transfers into leading other people. But you know what? We're always serving the Lord. And that's just ministry. That's what we do. Right? And so anyway, let's pray. I'm over time. We'll get back into this in a few weeks. I'm glad we got done because it'll be like 3 weeks before I'm back in here. So let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. Thank you for being good to us, Lord. I just thank you for your word. Ministry is it's something, Lord, but it's of you, and it's the only thing that we should be focused on. So I pray that you would just continue to bless the ministry at Heartland, bless the ministry at Pass Point, that we just continue to get the word of God where it needs to go on time, and that we're just faithful to you, that we're fully submitted to you first, and that you're just getting the glory for all of it, Lord. I pray that these things would just convict our hearts. God, there's so many things, just as I'm going through this, I need to adapt and to grow and to just fully submit and just be follower of you first. And I know that there's others that that need to hear this as well. And so I pray that we as a church would be just fully submitted to you in whatever capacity that looks like. And so, Lord, I thank you for the relationships in ministry. Without them, you know, it's really pointless. But, God, the relationships we build, they endure. And so I pray that you would just be with Pastor Brian as he preaches today. Get the glory for all of it. In Christ's name, amen.